your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. This is Kathleen McCarthy, and as always, it's a blessing and an honor to be with each and every one of you. Before we get into our guest, I just want to make an announcement, and I'll make it again towards the end of the program. We are having, as you know, our Wake Up America dinner. Wake Up America, that's our beautiful theme is mercy. As our Holy Father has opened the door for all of our hearts to open for the beautiful gift of mercy, which St. Faustina tells us Jesus said himself, he is mercy and love itself. And our theme today for the Wake Up America dinner is the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And that's Psalm 45, verses 8 and 9. So, my brothers and sisters, it's this Sunday, January 10th. I have to give the head count, the last head count, tomorrow after the program. So, please do not get closed out as many did the year before. Please call, make your reservation. You can pick your tickets up at the door because now it's too late to put them in the mail. You may not get them. So please call the studio, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Maureen will take your information and make the reservation, and then she will have your tickets at the door. So please, again, Sunday, January 10th, this Sunday, 1:30 to 5:30. As you know, we have a beautiful meal. You're there on holy ground. I will be speaking as well as my friend, Father Douglas McKay, a beautiful, holy, and humble priest. The cost of the dinner is $45 per person. As you know, it's soup to nuts, soup, salad, beautiful meal. And if you order by table, and that seems what everybody seems to be doing, you save yourself $40 by ordering the table. The table sit eight, and it's $320, so that's a saving of $40. So again, the cost for per ticket is $45. If you order by a table, you save, everybody saves himself $5 because it's a $40 saving. Once again, 610-527-2906, Sunday, this Sunday, January 10th, 1:30 to 5:30. Talking about mercy and our own theme for the Wake Up America dinner, you're really going to love our program today because, as you know, I've had Vinny on the program before. He's a beautiful man of God, beautiful family. You know the work that they do. And he has written a book so timely for this year of mercy and going along with what our Holy Father's called us to. This is an invaluable guide, accessible and profound, with our own Most Reverend Michael Burbidge, another friend. So he, so many times, has reminded all of us about mercy. And of course, the Holy Father himself has given us this opportunity. This is an urgent time. It's an urgent time for those that are in such need, and we're all in need of mercy, but they're in such need to know the truth. And it's only through the giver of life, the power of the Holy Spirit, that is the giver of life. So we have to take that message of mercy out under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this book is called Seven Secrets of Divine Mercy. Again, written by Vinnie Flynn. It's put out by Ignatius Press and, of course, Lighthouse Catholic Media. I'm going to read you one of the things on the back, which this is from Father Mike Gately. Imagine if someone were to deeply ponder and powerfully proclaim the mystery of divine mercy for more than 35 years and then gather the most precious insights into one place. Then you have imagined this book. And that's from Father Mike Gately. So again, Vinny, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kathleen. It's nice to be with you.
And it's good to be with you. And, you know, we spoke just for an instant, and I made the comment that this book was so, you know, just so timely for the year of mercy. And you sort of chuckled and said, yeah, you liked how he worked it all out. it's so important, this message of mercy that our Holy Father, Pope Francis, calls us not only to listen to his words about mercy, but actually to live that out in our daily lives. Our lives should be shaped by mercy. Tell me why you wrote this book at this time, and how the Holy Spirit inspired you to write it, and what are some of the main promptings of the Spirit that spoke to your heart that this is what the world, no pun intended on my station, but this is what the world needs now. The world really needs this message, Vinny, and it is in perfect timing.
Yes, well, I've discovered that the Lord's timing is perfect.
Yeah.
This is a book I've been wanting to write a long time. Back in 2006, I decided that the first thing that I had to do was write the Seven Secrets of the Eucharist, because there were so many, there's so much confusion that even good practicing Catholics had about the Eucharist. So I wrote that, and then followed that with Seven Secrets of Confession, because, again, it's one of the most misunderstood sacraments, and I felt there was a need for it. But all along, the book I wanted to write was this one, because it's the background for the others.
Mm.
It's almost like, you know, some of these trilogies that they write, and then after they're all done, they go back and they write the prequel.
Yeah.
You know, the movie comes out that before any of that happened. Well, it's everything that I wrote about the Eucharist, everything I wrote about confession, is really steeped in divine mercy. That's the whole function of those sacraments. In the Diary of St. Faustina, for instance, those sacraments, each of those sacraments is called the fountain of life. You have to read the context to know which one it's referring to. They're called the miracles of mercy.
Mm.
And so this is a book that, even when I was outlining the confession book, I outlined this book at the same time, because there's so much overlap.
Mm.
And you'll find that in Pope Francis's talks and writings, too. He's talking about mercy, but he talks about confession all the time, because it's so integral to it. So it's just a book that I've been longing to write, and it's just God's timing that I didn't get it written earlier. And then when I found out, here I'm struggling to get it out by December, and then I find out that Pope Francis has proclaimed this year of mercy. So it's like I looked up to God and said, okay, now I know why you were not letting me get this done before, because now it's time to really have it come out. The book shipped from the printer December 7, the day before the Holy Father opened the Jubilee Year of Mercy, which also, of course, is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and it also is my birthday.
So, oh, wow.
It's just like,
nobody can do it up like God.
That's
awesome. That's really, really beautiful. One of the things that I see and that I, from reading all of the different people that, were able to write about this beautiful book, one of the things, it's a common theme, is how you have really brought St. Faustina into a new light, if you will. You've taken some of her writings and the most important ones that were so intricate of how God spoke to her heart, how he even drew her into the throne of mercy, the triune throne. You speak so powerfully about mercy. And of course, we know from the chapel, it's one of the most powerful prayers we can pray. So tell us how the Lord led you to bring Faustina so powerfully, so real, so you bring her so alive in this. And maybe you could share how God spoke to your heart about putting it in words.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite questions is, so what? And all my life I've had to struggle with theology, with the teachings of the church, because I didn't want to just memorize the various truths, but I wanted to understand them.
Right.
So I would push to really get them. And once I got them, then I discovered that I was able to explain them simply enough to people so that people would see things in a different way. And unplanned by me, I've lived all my life 4 miles from the National Shrine of Divine Mercy in Stockbridge.
Right.
And that became my home away from home. From the time I was in my early teens, I was introduced to the Divine Mercy message in the late 1950s. And so it just became a part of my life. And I didn't know at the time the Lord was leading me that way, and that ultimately I would work there at the shrine and be involved in all the editorial stuff that would come out about Divine Mercy. So it's like God was, unknown to me, mentoring me about Divine Mercy for most of my life, and it's just filled me. And as I began giving talks about the sacraments, about the Father's love, about Divine Mercy, I started realizing that even people who are very, very devoted to Divine Mercy, pray the chaplet every day, you know, have the Divine Mercy image enthroned in their homes, really didn't understand what it was all about. And so I felt this pull to explain it so that they would understand how this is not just a private devotion, not just a set of certain prayers and formulas and rituals, but it's the umbrella devotion over all the beautiful rituals and teachings that we have in the Catholic Church. Everything is an expression of God's divine mercy. And the more we understand that, the more it changes our whole life, our whole relationship with God.
You know, I know that your family, some of your children, your wife, I know that for years and years now that you sing of God's love, His mercy in your worship ministry. And when you think of God's mercy, I mean, when you say He was sort of grooming you for this, He really was. And especially, you know, when you talk about how it was your home away from home up there and how it's always been a part of your life. And I think that's the power of God, Vinny. We have to trust and we have to believe, particularly in these times of darkness, that the light will always overcome the darkness. And also where all the sin in the world abounds, grace abounds more. this book, I believe, is going to touch so many lives, because not only do you write about it so beautifully, but it is the Holy Spirit has really anointed you to put this book together in this time, as you say. I mean, when Our Lady's, you know, as a church celebrates Our Lady's birth, Immaculate Conception, there was no one more open to mercy when she opened her heart, her soul, and even the womb of Our Lady, who carried within her mercy itself. I love that word from Faustina in devotional, where he says that he is love and mercy itself. I mean, every time I say it, I read it, I hear it, you can feel the power in his mercy. It's flowing freely. And this book, I think, is going to do a mighty work in, for the Lord, for his merciful heart, through the hands of Vinnie Flynn, putting this down to write the book. I just think it's going to be a mighty work. And I'm just so happy that you wrote it. And I read your other book, The Seven Secrets of the Eucharist. This is, it's simply written. Anybody can read it. And yet it's so theologically sound that in this compact book, it's the riches are within it. And I think maybe Saint Faustina herself had interceded for this book to come forth.
There's no doubt. See, I don't write efficiently. It takes me this book. I wrote this book in 6 months. Usually, it takes me more like 6 years.
Yeah.
And when I agreed with Ignatius Press and Lighthouse Scout Immediate to do this and get it done by December, I told them right out that, you know, this is not possible, so it's just going to have to be grace. And I remember the head of Lighthouse Academy Media said, Jesus, I trust in you. He threw it back at me like, okay, what better book for me to trust? And that's what it became. It became an act of trust. Every day I would go in front of the Blessed Sacrament and try to write all day, and just I could feel the prayer, and I call on Faustina regularly to help me grow in trust. And it was like it was intense, but it was like a retreat for me, and I just felt that grace of that comes from trusting in the Lord. And what I'm hoping is that it will be a little part in the revolution that Pope Francis is calling us to.
Yeah.
I love to tell people that he's calling us for revolution, and watch people's faces like revolution. But he uses the word several
times.
Yes,
he does. Yes, he
and
does.
He calls it a revolution of tenderness. And he says that's what we have to cultivate as the fruit of the year of mercy. God's tenderness, to realize that even when he forgives, he doesn't forgive grudgingly. He forgives with a caress, that God is so tender and loving. And once we know that and really receive it, then that calls us to let that mercy, that tenderness, flow through us to other people. As you said at the beginning, to live lives shaped by mercy.
Yeah. You know, Benny, John, of course, we know before even Pope Paul that sort of, St. John Paul II, the second, that was his own desire of his heart to make known Faustina and to, eventually have her canonized.
Absolutely.
Because he himself, his words always stuck in my heart because I named my program What the World Needs Now. And I remember him saying how much the world needs, that what the world needs now is to understand and accept divine mercy. He knew
right,
the time,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And, of course, Benedict also has, cried out that mercy is needed. Mercy is needed.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And, of course, Francis took that because that's who he is. That
exactly.
I mean, when he represents,
exactly.
he lives mercy. He lives
exactly.
it out.
He does. You know, a lot of people have said all along since Pope Francis became Pope that, you know, he's so different from these other popes. And well, sure, in personality,
yes,
and style, but I think
right,
what you just said is so important for people to understand. There's been a continuity of teaching about divine mercy. It didn't even start with John Paul II. I mean, he was such a Pope of mercy. But what I find interesting is that the December 8th day is not only the Feast of the Immaculate Conception that the Pope chose for the opening of the Jubilee Year of Mercy, it's also the 50th anniversary of the closing of Vatican II.
Yes.
And Pope John the 23rd, when he opened the Vatican Council, he said, what the world needs is the medicine of mercy.
Yeah.
And all these three popes you mentioned, Pope John Paul, Pope Benedict, Pope Francis, have been telling us all along, we need to fully implement Vatican II properly. We need to go back and understand what this council was all about. And what it was about was mercy.
Exactly.
That the world is full of woundedness. As Pope Francis keeps saying, it's the church has to be a field hospital. And he's calling out to his priests in the confessional, don't analyze, heal the wounds.
That's right.
Because there's so much woundedness. And so that's what we're all called to do in this year of mercy. He's saying, let us all open our eyes and see the misery around us, the wounds of our brothers and sisters, and to be compelled to do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, I mean, you know, and I guess that's why I wanted to bring up about the continuity of the popes. But, I mean, I remember Pope Paul VI, who was really the biggest traveler. I mean, that was unheard of.
Yes, he was.
And time and time again, I mean, even his encyclical, Evangelization in the Modern World, he talks throughout that encyclical about the mercy of God, and that's mm-hmm. why evangelization needs to take place. So there is such a continuity of all of our holy fathers, all of our shepherds, and I think it's good for the people of God to know that this is
right.
This Pope for sure is giving us not only you know, his encyclical and opening the door for the Jubilee Year of Mercy, but he is giving us a show and tell.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
What do you think about that?
I've never seen anyone that makes me think of St. Paul as much. You know, St. Paul has this phrase that's always kind of hit me like, wow, I hope I can say that someday, where he dares to say, be imitators of me as I am of Christ.
Yeah.
And this Pope can say that. He can really say, okay, mercy should be a way of life. Watch me.
Yeah.
Watch what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Watch the way I live. And he's not only teaching about it, but as you say, he's modeling it for
mm-hmm.
us. He's living it.
Yeah. And I think we need that at this time. We know what mercy
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
We've seen mercy lived out in many different ways. We know the scriptures. We know that it's a fundamental teaching of the church. And yet, he has really been the show and tell of mm-hmm. of mercy. And you line
and
his...
I think he shows...
Yeah, go ahead.
I think he shows two of the aspects of mercy more than anyone I've ever seen, and that's the tenderness of God and the joy
yeah.
of God.
Yeah.
He reflects both of those, and he teaches about both that this, it's the Lord of tenderness that we need to recognize, and we need to then bear witness to that in our own lives, being tender, and that God doesn't forgive grudgingly or objectively, that it's what pleases him most.
Yeah.
That God is delighted. He's filled with joy when we ask him to forgive us. And that once we realize that, and we start doing that for other people, it brings us to joy. So he's all about this combination of recognizing the tenderness of God, imitating it, and suddenly discovering that it brings us great joy.
Yeah. You know, we've all heard it said, you know, the longest distance, that 18 inches from our head to our heart.
Mm-hmm.
What's so funny? But, I mean, everybody can relate to that. We have the head knowledge, and that's why I think God said, look, I'm going to give you a show and tell. I'm going to let you see what it looks like to live out the message of mercy, so that it can not only go from your head, but drop into your heart and take root.
Right. Exactly. You know, it's interesting because, you know, in mentioning the similarities among these popes, Pope Benedict talked about this head and heart thing, and he talked about the Good Samaritan, and we all know the story of the Good Samaritan, and he says that the normal translation that he had, this Good Samaritan had compassion on the man who was robbed, he said that really isn't sufficient, that what it actually means is his heart was wrenched open.
Mm.
And he said, he then talks about St. Augustine's definition of misericordia, the Latin word for mercy, which is wretched heart. Mm. And that what real mercy is when your heart is wrenched open at the plight of someone else, the suffering of someone else, in such a way that you are compelled to do something about it. The Good Samaritan didn't just, oh, poor slob, I have pity on him, I have compassion. No, his heart was torn open so that he had to do what he could to help. And Pope Francis has now picked this up when he talks about the year of mercy, that we have to imitate the Good Samaritan, and he uses the same word, that we have to be compelled to hear the cry of our brothers and sisters.
Wow.
And do something about it.
You know, if you could, the thrust, take 2 points of your book, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let's take, because it certainly honors God the Father. It certainly talks about Jesus being mercy and love itself. But as I said, it is the Holy Spirit that's the giver of life, so we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Give three, synopsisize a little bit about three of those things that people will benefit out of your book.
Okay. One is the beginning and the end, basically.
Great.
Secret one is that God has a plan. And, you know, sometimes when I give talks about that, I say, the greatest secret of all is that God has a plan. People look at me like, well, duh. Of course he has a plan. We all know that. And I ask, well, when's the last time you took that idea out and looked at it? You know, what is this plan? And how does it include you? You know, what is this all about? And what I try to explain in the book is that everything we have in the church, everything that's a part of our lives, is all a reflection of one plan of God's. And that plan is divinization. Mm-hmm. That plan is that we are not created to remain merely human. We are created to become divinely human, where we live the way God lives, so that he can pull us into the Trinity to live with him forever. Catechism teaches this throughout. It's the full teaching of the church. The saints speak of it in unbelievably strong terms. The goal that God has is that he wants us to be with him intimately, personally, each of us, with him forever in the Trinity. And that's why we are created in his image and likeness, because we can't be with him until we're like him. So everything God is doing through the sacraments, through the teachings of the church, through his revelation, is to help us become his real children, the way he intended us, to be restored in the image and likeness in which he created us, so that it will change us. The final secret is that the goal of everything is transfiguration, where we remember Jesus going up on the mountain and being transfigured in front of the apostles, and they said, we saw his glory in his physical body and all the characteristics of his physical body. They saw divinity reflected. That's what we're called to. Our bodies were created in that same way as Christ's. Our body is supposed to reflect divinity. And the best example of this is Our Lady.
Yes.
I mean, when, you know, the sound of her voice when she greeted Elizabeth caused the Holy Spirit to come down upon Elizabeth and John the Baptist to leap in Elizabeth's womb.
Yeah.
Just the sound of her voice, because she was so steeped in Christ. She was so filled. And that through the sacraments, what God wants to do is give us his divine life in our beings, fill us more and more with his own divine way of being, Pope John Paul calls it a mode of being that Christ passes on to us, so that we can then be Christ in the world. It's an amazing thing. The whole goal of mercy, of God's mercy, is to change us so completely that we become other Christs, so that we are now living the way divine beings live, seeing and loving and perceiving things the way divine beings do, so that we can indeed fulfill the Father's plan and let Him draw us into the Trinity with Him forever.
Amen. We're going to take a little break, Vinny. Can you stay with me for a while?
Okay.
We're going to take a little break, my brothers and sisters. Do not go away. There's more coming. Again, Vinny Flynn is the author of Seven Secrets of the Eucharist, Ways to Worship, and Seven Secrets of Confession. Seven, of course, we know is that number of fulfillment, and so completeness. So hang in there. Don't go away, and I will open up the phone lines when we come back.
We thank God for our one, holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church, where Jesus remains present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. And in his sign, Catholic Radio, has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy and In His Sign have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic radio and the internet. With God's grace, His word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In His Sign proclaims the culture of life loud and clear in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
My brothers and sisters, we're back again. This is What the World Needs Now. Kathleen McCarthy here, and I have a wonderful guest today, and of course, that's Vinny Flynn. You know, there's all kinds of books out on mercy, books out on Francis, our Holy Father, and then this book comes out, And this is such, I mean, to coin a phrase that I always like to say, God had his fingerprints all over this. I really believe it. Not only the prompting of the Holy Spirit into Vinny's life to make the book a reality, but all of it. Getting done and breaking forth to the public on December 8th, the same day, or the 7th, the same day of Our Lady's birthday, the Holy Father, Immaculate Conception, I keep saying birthday, the Immaculate Conception, the Holy Father knows there's no better time than to call for a Jubilee Year of Mercy than on Our Lady's Day, on her own Immaculate Conception, because that in itself was mercy. The Lord searched in the fullness of time and found a virgin that would bring forth his Son, the Savior of the world, Yeshua, and he is mercy and love itself. And so today, Vinny, if you'd be so good, I'd like to open up the phone lines. If anybody has a question for you, would you be open to that?
Sure.
Well, my brothers and sisters, seize the moment here. Maybe you have a question you'd like to ask Vinny about the book, The Seven Secrets of Divine Mercy. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon. Ignatius Press is a publisher, and Lighthouse Catholic Media. I noticed a quote here from a friend of mine who's part of my Sacred Heart Global Mission team. And, of course, that's, something very close to my own heart. And of course, that's Dr. Tim O'Donnell. And he writes, Vinnie Flynn has accomplished a great work for the church in his new book, Seven Secrets of Divine Mercy. An outstanding presentation. You know, we're going to be coming in now. We're in the winter months, and nothing nicer sometimes than to just sit home on those cold nights, wrap up in a nice blanket, and read. And I would encourage you to buy this book. I do not tote a lot of books. This is a book that I really feel that brings the whole message of St. Faustina to life. And it's written beautifully. It's small and compact and filled with so many wonderful, not only quotes from St. Faustina, but also talks about, as Vinny said earlier, you know, St. John again, the 23rd. He himself was one of the very beginning persons who brought this message forward, and it is a continuity all along, right up now into our Holy Father Pope Francis, who has called for a Jubilee Year. What does that Jubilee Year say to you, Vinny? Not only for your book, but for you personally, as a husband, as a father, as a son of God, and as a person that's involved very much in the life of Mother Church.
The thing that hits me most is the same thing that struck me most about the writings and teachings of St. Pope John Paul, that and even Benedict as well, that if you examined all their writings, you'd find a common theme that runs through them all, and that's that everything centers on God the Father. That we really need to understand the fatherhood of God. And I think especially in this age when fatherhood is, you know, has almost disappeared in some ways, and the whole concept of fatherhood is under attack, because, you know, God is eternally Father. The Catechism tells us that all blessing comes from the Father, and that's the Father's whole work, that his whole work is one vast divine blessing. And what really strikes me about the whole message of Divine Mercy that comes from the Diary of St. Faustina is that it demonstrates that. You know, for instance, you know, most people know about the Divine Mercy image. And I lots of times when I speak about that image, I'll say, okay, who's this a picture of?
Mm.
And everybody will always say Jesus. And I'll say, well, yes, but who else? You know, it's not just a picture of Jesus. Jesus told Philip, when Philip said, Jesus, will you show us the Father?
Yeah.
He's talking about the Father all the time. Will you show us the Father? And Jesus said, and Philip, you've been with me so long, don't you know? Don't you get it, Philip? If you see me, you've seen the Father. So when we look at this Divine Mercy image with that hand raised in blessing, Jesus is showing us God the Father. Pope John Paul wrote a whole encyclical to stress the fact that the reason Jesus came was to show us that God's a Father who is overflowing with mercy.
Mm.
He's so rich in mercy, he can just throw it out. And that's all in the Divine Mercy image. That picture tells a whole story. And a lot of people are drawn to that image, but they don't understand all the teaching that's in that, the wealth of information and that's in that image. That image tells us a whole story about who God is and who we're called to be.
Hmm. And you know, and you have, of course, on this, it's a picture of the rays, the blood and the water flowing forth from the heart of Christ. That's a cover on your book for mm-hmm. your Divine Mercy. Share with our audience, as you wrote this book, Vinny, did that become clearer and clearer to you, the fact that that what do those rays mean? Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. What I found in writing the book, I mean, I've spoken about this for years, but when I got writing the book, it's like every day I'd be writing in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and there would be new thoughts that would come to me that would kind of, you know, knock my socks off. It was like, wow. Those rays, there's so much in that concept. I used to put a big picture of the Divine Mercy image up and actually on a poster board, and I would tack pictures of people I wanted to pray for, and I'd tack them in those rays as a reminder to me to just immerse people in the outpouring of God's love. And the one thing about a piece of art is that it's a moment in time frozen. Like that hand is always raised in blessing. You can't change that. Those rays of blood and water, the mercy of God, we can't make them dry up. We can't stop them. And what that says to me is that God is always loving you. He's always loving you. There's never a moment when he's not loving and blessing and wanting to fill us with joy. And the more we recognize that, the more it just calms us down. It's like if we could really get that concept, we could never be unhappy. We could never be anxious or worried because God is always loving us.
Hmm. And I think sometimes we forget that there is no sin so great. No matter what it is, no matter where somebody's been, what they have done, that it's pride to think that this sin is so great that God can't forgive me, because his forgiveness is divine. so I couldn't agree with you more. The divine heart that has loved us so much. I mean, I think of the Sacred Heart of Jesus when you talked about the wrenching of the heart, you know, mm-hmm. when you think of him appearing to St. Mark Mary and he holds his heart in his hand. He wrenched his heart right out. That's how much mm-hmm. he loves us. Mm-hmm. And that love, like you said, it's always, there's nothing we could do to make him love us more because it's number seven. He loves us completely and fully.
We can't earn it, and we also can't lose it.
Yeah.
We can choose to run away from it, but we can't stop it. You know, God is always loving us. That's one of the things that I, in the Seven Secrets of Confession book, the first secret is sin doesn't change God.
Yeah.
I always thought it did. God's mad at me. I've been bad. My behavior hasn't been right. So now he doesn't like me anymore.
Right.
Now he's angry. I got to go to confession so he won't be mad at me anymore. That's a distortion.
Mm-hmm.
He's always loving me, even when I'm sinning. He's sad. It hurts him that I'm sinning because he knows it's hurting me.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to punish. His delight, Pope Francis said, is to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
He rejoices when we ask him to forgive.
Yeah, all through the scriptures from the very beginning, what he say, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I mean, he's always forgiving, always loving. Let me give out the phone numbers here. We have about 13 minutes left. If you would like to call in, again, I'm interviewing Vinnie Flynn. He has written The Seven Secrets of Divine Mercy, and it is indeed an invaluable guide. It's profound, and I think this is a book that has to go into your hands, and maybe to the hands of those that feel they're beyond God's love, beyond God's mercy. You know, mercy, we know, is it's not getting what you deserve. You know, it's not getting what we really deserve. His mercy is divine. It's forever. So maybe you know somebody in your life today that you wonder how to reach that person. How can you let them know that God's love is unconditional and that his mercy endures forever? Order the book. Again, Seven Secrets of Divine Mercy, Ignatian Press, Lighthouse Catholic Media. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon as well. Think about
it's actually
it.
Actually, in any of the retail outlets.
Is it
well.
Now? Okay.
Any of the normal places that people would get their books at religious stores, or they can get it on VinnieFlynn.com as well.
Very good. I was just going to ask you if you had a site they could go to. And
it's VinnieFlynn.com.
Okay. So the phone number here, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or you can call anywhere else. Everything's going out globally, so you can call anywhere else, toll-free. And the phone number is 1-888-34-FAITH. 1-888-34-FAITH. And give a call, because I'm sure that you probably have questions about Divine Mercy. You know, Vinnie, we're going to, we'll be entering in a very short time. It doesn't seem so right now, because we're just beginning a new year. But we will be entering into the next season of Lent. And, you know, when we think about this time coming up, you talked about the Father being everything. And if you see me, you see the Father. And there's no, I mean, he's our Father God. The story of the prodigal son is an amazing story that we all know. And it brings out the truth about the Father, who never, ever takes his eyes off of either one of us. How do you feel about those who think they're beyond God's mercy and forgiveness?
Well, see, I think you hit on Tama when you mentioned the whole idea of deserving. See, what Pope John Paul pointed out in Rich in Mercy is that the function of mercy is to restore everything that's been lost, and that mercy can't be earned. What mercy is love that is given to those who don't deserve it.
Yeah.
When God loves in the Trinity, the Father loves the Son returns the love of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the person love, Pope John Paul says. He is the love between the Father and the Son. Well, that's all perfect. The Son deserves the love of the Father. The Father deserves to have that love returned. Well, but that love, the whole function of pure love is that it has to give of itself, empty itself for others. So God created other beings that he could love. That's why you and I exist. It's no accident. God wasn't just playing with clay.
Right.
God wanted more children that he could bestow his love on. Now, none of us could deserve that love or earn that love, because we're just creatures.
Mm.
So that's what mercy is. When that love of God comes out of the Trinity for us, it becomes mercy. Mercy is love given to those who don't deserve it. And God's not an Indian giver, so to speak, the old phrase. You know, he's not taking anything back. Once he loves, it will bear fruit, and it's forever. And so that's what we need to understand, is that there's nothing that we can ever do that can change God's love. Pope John Paul in Rich in Mercy has this wonderful section talking about that prodigal son story that you mentioned, where he says about the father in that story, he says, after all, it was his son who was involved. And that kind of relationship can never be altered or destroyed by any sort of behavior. And that was like a revelation to me when I read this. I went, whoa, that's an incredibly powerful thing. Because the Father is not focused on our behavior. He's focused on our relationship with him as his sons and daughters. He sees that our behavior, if it's bad behavior, it keeps us from being, from receiving the fathering he wants to give us. It keeps us from being the children he wants us to be. So that's what saddens him. But no behavior can alter or destroy the relationship that he has as our Father. He is always the loving, self-giving, all-forgiving Father. Mm-hmm. And once we really get that, even when we start to get that, it changes everything in our lives.
Well, I wish you all the very best. I think this is indeed, I have to agree and concur with Bishop Burbridge when he calls it an invaluable guide, accessible and profound. That's out of the words of the bishop's mouth. I want to encourage you again to pick up this book. And particularly, you know, we just talked a little bit about the beautiful John Paul II's writing, Rich in Mercy. God is full of mercy, and sometimes we feel we don't have the words to those, especially those in our lives that we know and love. We feel inept. We feel like, I don't know what to say. They turn me off if I begin. Well, sometimes the best thing we can do is to put a great book into their hands. You know, one of the things, again, in Ephesians, don't quote me because I'm doing it from memory, but, you know, the verse where it says, God is rich in mercy out of great love. He loved us even when we were dead. Dead through our sin. He made us alive together with Christ. So there's no sin so great that God's mercy cannot encompass. He took all the sin upon himself to the cross, and yet so many people still hold on to it. What do you say about that?
Exactly. You know, one of the things that Pope Francis says that I just love, you know, he says that when we enter our hearts and we find things that aren't okay, things that aren't good, just the way Jesus went in the temple and he saw the filth of the profiteers in the temple, that Jesus came to clean out the temple, and that when we open the door to him in the confessional, we're asking him to come and clean out our soul. But then he says, we imagine that he comes with a whip of cords. No, he doesn't cleanse your soul with that. Do you know what kind of whip Jesus uses to cleanse our soul? Mercy. Open your heart to Jesus' mercy. Say, Jesus, look how much filth. Come, cleanse. Cleanse with your mercy, with your tender words. Cleanse with your caresses. I just love that. He uses this all the time. Jesus comes with the whip of mercy.
That's beautiful.
It's just a beautiful concept.
Yeah. You know, I just happened to turn your book over when I was reading one of the words from Dr. O'Donnell, and I notice here that you were very much involved in the translation of St. Faustina from the Polish to the English. And
actually not the translation, because the only words in Polish I know are Jezu Fantobia. Jesus, I trust in you. But it had been translated, and then the translation had been worked on, and then I was called in to work with Father George Kosicki and Father Serafin Mikalenko to make the translation more readable.
Yeah.
And then they were there. They all spoke Polish, so they were there to make sure that we didn't get messed up.
Yeah.
But it was a wonderful time in my life to be able to work with Father Serafin and Father George.
I mean, two of the most renowned.
All the time.
Sure, two of the most renowned names in the world for her diary, and. And of course, I don't. You know, the church lost a tremendous figure in Father George because what a great and holy, humble. I remember him from so many years ago in the renewal, the church really lost.
Well, there's a lot of him in this book.
Yeah, I was there.
Of
yeah,
him in this book. Oh my goodness! The book is dedicated to him, and the afterword I talk a lot about. You know, what he taught, how he taught about mercy, especially his constant refrain, which became my refrain so I could get the book written. He constantly would say, trust even more, trust even more, that we never trust enough, and that all the graces of the Lord are drawn by trust. The Lord told Faustina, the more you trust, the more you receive. One point he even told her, I make myself dependent upon your trust.
Wow. Wow.
So that's the main central essence, really, of the message of divine mercy, is to really know who God is, learn who God is, and trust it, and try to grow in that trust.
Praise God. Well, Vinny, I ask God to bless you abundantly, that the Father who created you may help you to bring this book into the hands of so many people, and may the Spirit of God indwells within you just well up mightily in all those who read your book. So
thank
God
you.
Bless you, thank and you. May His hand be upon you to watch over you and protect you and your family.
Thank you, Kathleen.
I will have
God
you
bless.
On again. God bless. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, my brothers and sisters, once again, I want to remind you, I have to give the final count in. We as Catholics are last-minute people, so I will go ahead and ask you to please call 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. You can call out of the area 1-888-34-FAITH. Make your reservations for this Sunday. We have a little video to show of a miracle that took place, and it wasn't me saying it was a miracle. Cooper Hospital has attested to it. So please come on out. We'd like to see faces of those people that we talk to and pray with, and this Sunday at Malvern Retreat House, 1:30 to 5:30. Order a table. Get some of your friends together, your prayer group, your Bible study, people from your family. Come on out. Once again, I will be speaking, and also Father Douglas McKay. My brothers and sisters, if you're away from the church, let us remember that God's mercy is always, always calling to us. If you're away from the church, come on home. We're not complete without you, and you are missed. Till we meet again tomorrow, may God hold you in the palm of His hand, hold you close to His sacred heart, and may our Holy Mother Mary place her mantle over each and every one of us. Let us remember we are never, ever alone. God bless you.